There is a place that is spoken about only in whispers. A dark area that spawns the beginnings of urban legends. A place where anything can happen and usually does. During the light of day, it hides just outside of view. But when the sun goes down, spirits, creatures of the night, roam free, and things do go bump in the night. It is in every state and every country, and there is no escaping it, no matter how safe you feel behind your locked doors and latched windows. So we invite you to turn down the lights and turn up your radio while we join Dave Schrader and Tim Dennis, your hosts, on a journey into the darkness on the edge of town.
Smiles, smiles, everyone. Welcome to Fantasy Island. I am your host, Mr. Schrader, and across the table from me, Tim 2. Good evening, Tim 2.
But boss, what is this fantasy?
Today, we're going to be discussing, as I mentioned last week's show, we had an adventure out at the last Queen Mary event where during one of the ghost hunts that took place at the pool, the first class pool where the little girl Jackie is known to be, we had a close encounter of the channeling kind with Mr. Chris Fleming. First time I have ever had the chance to be live and present for one of his channeling sessions, and it's quite disturbing. I know a lot of people were impacted by what they saw and experienced, so I wanted to bring Chris on this evening to talk to him about that and discuss the different things that go on during a channeling session, you know, because it just bogged my mind with thousands of questions about this phenomena and how it works. You know, on TV, when I've watched it, it's very cartoony and silly looking, and in person, it's very traumatic and strange. So I wanted to talk to him about this and discuss it and discuss the dangers and what he goes through before, after, and during a channeling session. What memories does he have? Does he recall these things? So we're going to talk to Chris about that. Quick observations just to quickly mention. Rolling Hills Paranormal Retreat is up for sale. We're more than halfway sold out for the June 13th. It's a 12th through the 15th, actually, event taking place at Rolling Hills with Chris Fleming, Patrick Burns, Jason and Grant from the Ghost Hunters, Ghost Cops, Stacey Jones, and more. We're going to be out at that event in Rolling Hills, which is East Bethany, New York. We have very few tickets left. I think we have less than about 40 tickets at this point. So if you want to go, you got to get on it. They are going to be gone very soon. Also, to let you know, Queen Mary Stanley events are up for November and December 2008. That'll be your last chance to see both of those places in the year 2008. We're going to be sold out, and that'll be the end of it. Not another trip until 2009, and we are more than half sold out again on the Stanley already. And then, Tim, why don't you go ahead and mention again the event that you're doing with Chad Kalick?
Aye, boy, it's Donnybrook.
Ah, Donnybrook.
Donnybrook. That's in Philadelphia. That's the weekend after the Eastern State trip. You want more details, myspace.com/AnAmericanGhostHunter, An American Ghost Hunter. And by all means, visit Chad's MySpace. There's a banner there. There's also a banner on the darknessradio.com page. You can click on that. That'll take you to get all the details. And that one, by the way, 2/3 sold out. So if you want your spot, get it now. There's only 20 spots available. It's going to be a great time. And we're going back to Revolutionary War period with the Donnybrook trip. So you want to catch some revolutionary ghosts, come on out with myself and Chad and the rest of the AGH family and join us at Donnybrook.
All right. That's up. And they're limiting that to only 20 people.
It's only 20 spots.
Only 20 people. And you actually get to be a part of the filming for the American Ghost Hunter as
well,
correct?
That's right. You're on the DVD extras of American Ghost Hunter when it comes out on DVD.
Awesome. So that will be a great opportunity. Only 20 people investigating, and Tim from Darkness Radio will be out there co-hosting. Also, make sure that you can join our buddy Patrick Burns out at Ghost Stock that weekend in Atlanta, Georgia. That is going to be a great opportunity to ghost hunt Savannah, Georgia. And he is doing a great program out there. It's a lot of fun, very inexpensive as well. I believe it's only $150 for the entire weekend. And if you come as a couple, I think it's just $250 for a couple. And if you come in groups of six or larger, there's even bigger discounts. So you can check that out by going to ghoststock.com. That's GHOSTOCK.com. And as a special added bonus, for every person that attends Ghost Stock, we have a special deal in place for you. Everybody that attends, your name is going to be put into a drawing. We're going to draw a name on the last day of Ghost Stock. That name will win two passes to the Stanley Hotel Retreat in November 2008, and you'll get a free room at the Stanley as well that'll be taken care of by Darkness Radio. So we'll hope to see you out there. Again, for more information, go to ghoststock.com, ghoststock.com. Now, Tim, you don't get a chance to get out to many of the ghost hunts while we're running the events because you're usually helping me run the back, you know, stuff that's going on when everybody else is out ghost hunting.
Mm-hmm.
And we've had the opportunity to investigate. Chris has always had crazy experiences happen when we've been out at the Queen Mary, you know, twice down in the pool area.
Mm-hmm.
We've had the little girl's voice call out loud in front of large groups of people, have had great experiences in the engine room where he's gotten strange noises. So this time we planned it a little bit differently. We didn't plan any events during the night during the ghost hunt so that people could the people that were ghost hunting were out ghost hunting. Everybody else had the free rein to go party at the bar or hang out in their room or get some rest and relaxation. So that gave us a little bit more free time this time to delve into the ghost hunting.
Mm-hmm.
While you were off in one of the other areas, I was in the pool with Chris Fleming. And, well, that sounds kinky, doesn't
it? Yeah, it does, yeah.
So I was greasing him up, and we were going to go for a swim. No, we were at the pool with Adam Bly, the demonologist and paranormal investigator. It was an interesting moment. There was some action going up on the top level. Chris was on the lower level to start. And on the top level, I was standing up there with a few girls that said that they were experiencing things and feeling things. And from across the way, one of our listeners, Ed, who joins us at a lot of our events and has a thermal camera, said that he could see what looked like a child's head darting around between me and the girls over on the other side of the wall.
Hmm.
And stuff was going on and started popping, and this girl could feel somebody touching her and pulling on her sweatshirt. And I was standing right there, and you could visibly, or not visibly, but you could kinesthetically feel a huge cold spot that was about waist high. So it was about child height. It was very strange. So Chris Fleming made his way up into the pool area. And, you know, we were trying to make communication for a little bit and using a K2 meter. Now, you know, I've been skeptical about the whole K2 meter. Mm-hmm. This last trip totally shook my mind with the K2 meter on a few different things. Well, first of all, I get to hold the K2 meter. You know, you watch Chris hold it. You watch everybody else hold it. No matter how much you love and trust that person, in the back of your mind, you're still saying they're moving their thumb. Something's manipulating that light.
Mm-hmm.
So I held it. And again, nothing was happening. And then all of a sudden it started to light up. And when you hold the button, there's always a light lit.
Mm-hmm.
During part of the time that we were making communication, the thing just went dead in my hand. No light at all. And I had my thumb pressed down on that button as hard as I possibly could.
Hmm.
So that was interesting. We'll talk a little bit later with Chris about the other activity we had with Patrick Burns and the K2 meter, which was insane. Just crazy stuff. Maybe even in the second hour, we'll try to bring Patrick online for a few minutes with Chris, and maybe the two of them can discuss what was going on there as well. Because this all kind of ties in. It was just a crazy night. But what really shook me was we began to try to make communication with the ghost of Peter James, who was the world-renowned psychic that used to be aboard the Queen Mary. And let's go ahead and bring in on the line with us Chris Fleming. And for those of you that are not familiar, Chris, again, is a psychic sensitive. He was one of the hosts of the television show Dead Famous, which can still be seen in reruns on the Biography Channel. Where he and his skeptical co-host Gail Porter would go out and try to make communication with the spirits of dead celebrities and find out a little bit about them that way. So, Chris, welcome back to the Darkness on the Edge of Town. I appreciate you being here with us.
As always, thank you, guys. Thanks, Dave. Thanks, Tim.
Well, now, Chris, as I mentioned, this really this kind of shook me up. I've never been present for one of your real full-on channeling sessions, and it was a strange balance of I didn't know, you know, exactly how to respond. I didn't know what was going on. All I knew is that, you know, one of my best friends looks like he's in pain and about to have an alien burst out of his chest, you know, because that's physically how it looks. You know,
I know.
On TV, it's very cartoony and flippy floppy. And in person, it looks very painful and racking to be standing there being witness to. So, as I mentioned, we brought you up. You came up into the top level there, and we were just kind of trying to communicate with the little girl spirit and trying to communicate what was going on, and we decided maybe to try to communicate with Peter James. And why don't we turn over the story to you at this point, a little bit about what was happening.
Well, what I remember, and there's not too many bits and pieces I remember up to that. Now, I've watched the video that Ed had recorded a couple times to kind of remember and get an idea of what was going on during that period. But I remember I was downstairs And I think you had yelled for me or said something that you had something really interesting going on to the second level. So I went up there, and you were asking certain questions. I can't remember exactly what it was, but then started feeling as if there's any energy relating to Peter James. And I think you started asking questions, or I asked questions. I can't really remember specifically. But, you know, is Peter James here? Is this Peter James? You know, how do we know this is Peter James? Well, Adam Bly was to my left, and as I was standing there and you began to ask questions and get some information being displayed on the K2 meter, I started feeling really dizzy. And it got to a point where I was feeling so dizzy, I'm like, oh my God, did I eat something? You know, what's going on? I said to Adam, I said, I feel really dizzy, I gotta sit down. And I sat down, and as I sat down, I started to get that feeling of a takeover, which is very similar to when someone has a walk-in possession, or in most cases, dealing with transmediumship, channeling. And I realized, oh, crap. You know, and the reason why I say this, people have to understand something. You know, what you see on Dead Famous, everything, that's been edited down from the channel sessions. A channel session can go for 45 minutes, a seance can go for an hour, whatever the case may be. You get to see bits and pieces of the channel session. So like you said earlier, it can be cartoony, it can look bizarre. That was always a part of my abilities that I was actually, in all honesty, embarrassed about, because I don't fully understand it yet. And even when I've watched the footage, it looks ridiculous sometimes. And I'm still skeptical. I'm very skeptical about some of the other channelers out there, but in some sense, I'm sometimes skeptical about how do I know for sure what's coming through, regardless of the experiences that I've had. But in this particular situation, I felt that I had no control, that for some reason it was forcing itself upon me. When I recognized that that energy was all already affecting my physical body to a sense where I was getting dizzy, where I was getting weak, I was starting to slip into a sleep stage, where I started feeling I was going to go into a very calm, meditative stage, which I normally put myself into on my own accord when I do one of these sessions.
Now, let me ask you real quick. Is this what they refer to as transmediumship?
Yes. Transmediumship and channeling are almost the same, okay? When you look at transmediumship, okay, sometimes mediums can be conscious during the communication period. Other times they can go into a trance where they're unconscious. I believe there's three stages, and it's important to clarify these. The first stage is when someone's doing a channel session or doing a seance, they can do what I've termed, based on Deepak Chopra's definition of non-local communication, meaning that the psychic or medium can sit there and can have a conversation with the spirit, whether that spirit's in the room or that spirit's somewhere else. It's no different than one of us picking up a phone, hearing what the other person's saying on the other line, and relating it to everybody else in the room. Okay, I'm conscious, mm-hmm. I can hear the other person in my psychic mind, and I'm just relaying to you what that person is saying. Okay, I have full control of my consciousness, I'm just relaying the conversation. That's non-local communication. But then the first part, when you start getting into channeling and the full transmediumship, is you go into a part trance, which I feel most of the time during that, we're at the Queen Mary, I was in a part trance, meaning that I was still conscious of what was going on, but I allowed them to come through to speak. Some of it was by force, because as we went on, there was more and more coming through, and I had to start battling them and keeping them at bay. Now, I remember I did hear your voice a couple times, and in all honesty, it was becoming annoying. And when I say annoying, not directly towards you.
not only to you, but every listener I've ever had. No,
it was annoying because imagine if you had surgery, okay, and you're under anesthesia, and you start to come out of anesthesia, mm-hmm. and you can hear the doctor and nurse's voice, you know, like, Chris, can you hear me? You know, Dave, can you hear me? Can, you know, wake up, and you don't want to go back to sleep, you know, because you're in such a relaxed state. Well, that is very similar to when I am in a part trance, that if someone else is starting to talk to me, what's happening is I'm not quite there. I don't have full use of my body. I'm almost in a completely knocked out, but I'm still slightly there. The other person, whatever spirit entity is coming through, has taken over. So for me to try to communicate with you, it's very difficult because there's somebody in the way. And I'm so relaxed, and I basically just want to go to sleep. But in this case, I was also fighting off all these other spirits because I didn't set parameters. I didn't protect myself. I didn't do any of that stuff because by the time I realized that I was going into a channel session, it was too late for me to do that.
Well, let's go back a little bit then. First off, let's give some people some background on you, Chris. Now, you're a psychic. You're sensitive. Mm-hmm. You do mediumship work. At what age did you do your first channeling session?
You know, that's really interesting because I really didn't understand what channeling was until like the late 90s when I was publishing my magazine, because a good friend of mine, Tom Cameron, would channel. And I saw this other woman channel, I can't remember her name, and I didn't believe it. I was like, come on, this is ridiculous. You know, I mean, I'm used to the Ouija board. I'm used to seeing ghosts, having dreams come true, and, you know, telepathic-type communications, but not where the spirit actually enters into your body and speaks through you. But what had happened was, on one occasion, I felt really weird at this one channel session where I didn't feel like myself. I was getting different memories and different emotions. And then when we started filming Dead Famous, I was like, my God, you know, I haven't done some of these seances in years, and, you know, what if I can't do this? You know, I was really getting that self-doubt. And I would sit down, and I would, the problem that I did was I didn't set up parameters, didn't protect myself. I just opened myself up saying, okay, whatever happens, happens. You know, just show yourself to me. And what started happening was because I did that, I started feeling the spirits enter into me in a sense of trying to speak through me, affecting my emotions, taking control of my left arm, my right arm. And it was bizarre. It was like a little kid in a store going, oh, my God, look at this, look at that. And I was just amazed. But I quickly realized that I have to gain control of this. So I would say the first time I really fully realized that I was channeling was back in 2003. We were doing the seance for Marilyn Monroe. And when we were done, I was like, oh, my God, I can do this. I go, I can really do this. I never thought I could channel, but I can. And then I had tons of questions for my friends that did channel, and I went and met with them. I said, okay, what does this mean? What does that mean? You know, what do I need to work on? And I started to develop it further, but in no means am I a great channeler. And the reason why I said that, if anybody watches me channel, I'm fighting these spirits sometimes because, personally, I like to have control of myself. And sometimes you have to be trusting and allow them to take over fully when you go into a full trance where they have full control of your body. And unfortunately, I'm too insecure to allow some type of entity or spirit to do that because I've always got this fear, what if I don't come back or what if they do something really bad? So you see me kind of struggling sometimes with them where I haven't fully given up ownership of my body, and that's why it kind of looks ridiculous sometimes with the breathing and this and that. And that also happens to do with them aligning themselves to my own breathing pattern because, remember, they don't breathe right now. So they have to learn how to breathe in and breathe out because now they have lungs. Now they have blood flowing through their body. Now they are starting to feel and experience that. And some spirits and entities, it might not be a perfect match if they were a female, older person, younger person. You know, it's like putting on a pair of jeans that don't quite fit. And that's why you see this ridiculous jumping around.
Mm. All right, so you started to learn to do this. Now, I'm a little concerned just because of a couple comments you made of the fact that, like, when we were at the Queen Mary, they just kind of started to force their way in, and you weren't ready, you weren't grounded, you weren't set up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there are a lot of people that attend our events and other events that think that they're psychics or sensitives, and they think that they know how to handle this stuff. Now, you've been in touch with your sensitivity since you were a child.
Right.
You've worked at it, you've honed it. And you're just admitting you still don't know fully all that you're doing,
right. And
you still make mistakes.
Exactly.
How is it that they can just enter you without permission?
Well, that's a good point. I'm still trying to figure out how and why. The one thing that I've discovered in the last four or five years is when I started becoming familiar with walk-ins, more familiar with possessions. I was almost possessed when I was 6, 7 years old. Doing the Ouija board with my mom. You know, we allowed the spirit to come through, and unfortunately it was some type of demonic entity. I was raised off my chair 3-4 feet, floating. It was probably one of the scariest experiences because I started feeling lighter as if I was going to be separated from my body. So at such a young age and getting older, you still don't fully understand it. But because my consciousness now as an adult has become aware of this, this has attracted more entities and things into my life that, in some cases, they don't want me to know. And in some cases, they want to try to communicate with me.
Mm-hmm.
So when I walk into an environment and they're trying to communicate with you and some of the other people there, and then all of a sudden they see this guy walk in that has different energy, that has all these holes in his aura because other spirits have gone through before, they realize, oh, we can talk through this guy.
Right.
And all of a sudden they latch themselves to me and start saying, come on, come on, we want to talk to you. And you said earlier, well, how does this happen to people? What I have found out is there are about 3 or 4 things that can occur which allows them to walk in or cause certain forms of short-time possession. That is, if somebody is under the influence of drugs, their mental state and their aura, their energy is very weakened. So they're not really protected. They don't have that coating really protecting them of their life force. So an entity can come in during certain periods and they don't remember it. That's why you hear many things of people under the influence of drugs. Of course, consciously and psychologically, we know that their brain is not functioning completely under their control. But what can happen is like a puppet. An entity can come in, manipulate them, make them say things or do certain things, not all the time, but sometimes, to where they regret it or don't remember it.
Okay.
And another case is in certain situations, if there are very heavy addictions, you know, whether it's to alcohol or even to sex, where somebody allows the physical body to be just so respondent to the environment and take over, where their mental process of control is no longer there. They're just totally giving in to the body. What happens is there's a separation from spirit and soul from the body and from the mind. So what happens is it gives a little gateway for spirits to come through for a short period of time. I have seen this. I'm not going to get into the details, but I have seen this where it scared the living hell out of me.
Chris, now that just sounds like a convenient excuse to get away with having sex with an unattractive person.
No.
Oh, I swear it was a walk-in. I had nothing to do with it, guys. Your buddies catch you with an uggo, and you're all, no, really, I was not. It wasn't me.
You know, I'm psychic, and I didn't even see that coming.
Yeah, exactly.
There's another joke.
Yes.
No, but you know, you're right, Dave. That's not an excuse. I've seen it from another person where that has happened, where spirits talk directly through them at a particular moment where they have no knowledge of what I do. Zero, zilch. And that spirit says to me, so you think you can find us? You think you can track us down and know where we're always going to be? And they laugh at me, and then they're gone, as if they're playing games. I had this happen to me three times with three different people in the last 4 years. That was exactly when I was discovering that this existed, and that scared the heck out of me, because I realized it can be anybody that these things can possibly go through if they're not protecting themselves or aware of this. The other situation, which I was actually going through at that time period when I walked up to the second level, I've got things going on in my personal life. So my mind was distracted. Still, I was focusing on the event, but there were things in the back of my mind I was analyzing, going through, and just trying to figure things out and thinking about, worrying about everything. Therefore, I was not focused on protecting myself while I was in that environment. No different than if a soldier goes onto the battlefield. He has to be 100% focused on the enemy. He has to be 100% focused on he can get shot. He has to keep his head down. He has to do that stuff. If he's thinking about something else, not paying attention, you know, he can get shot.
Right.
That's the same situation. I was not fully protected because I'm more susceptible to these things happening in those environments than other people because I've allowed them to pass through me before. And sometimes they can recognize that, and obviously that's what happened.
All right, well, you know, we got to take our first break. We come back, I want to talk some more, and then before we wrap up the first hour, we've got about 15 minutes of audio from the channeling session that you did on the Queen Mary. We'll play that, and then we'll talk about it after the top of the second hour. So stick with us. You're listening to the Darkness on the Edge of Town Paranormal Radio Show. Our guest this evening, Chris Fleming from the TV show Dead Famous.
The New York Times has raved about the show. The Star Tribune says it's paranormally funny, and the Biscayne Bugle said, how could they put this crap on the air and live with themselves?
I am so, so sorry for everything that has happened. Because in spite of what Mike says now, it is my fault. Because it was my project. Everything had to be my way. And this is where we've ended up.
Stay tuned. There's more to come from the darkness on the edge of town.
In the Amityville Horror, a ghost told them to get out the house. White people stayed in there. Now that's a hint and a half for your ass. A ghost say get the out, I would just tip the out the door. They walked and looked in the toilet bowl with blood in the toilet.
I said, that's peculiar.
I would have been in the house and said, oh baby, this is beautiful. We got a chandelier hanging up here, kids outside playing, it's a beautiful neighborhood. Ain't got nothing to worry. I really love them. This is really nice. Too bad we can't stay, baby.
We're the type of guys who would have stayed just for the extra company. Welcome back to the darkness on the edge of town.
And welcome back to the show. You're listening to the Darkness on the Edge of Town Paranormal Radio Show, here with you every Sunday night from 10 o'clock till midnight Central Time. We appreciate you spending your evening with us, and this evening our guest is Chris Fleming, and we're talking to him about channeling and mediumship and discussing some of the things that occurred at the Queen Mary from the last trip we just came back from. Chris, now, I don't understand is you know what's going on, you know what these spirits are doing, they're coming into you. I mean, first of all, isn't it kind of insane to allow them in any way, shape, or form to just enter you like that? I mean, aren't you afraid with all you know about so many of the negative things that can pretend to be good? And you just admitted that you had a negative at one point,
mm-hmm.
Lifting you and flipping you around a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Where does your concern come in that, holy crap, maybe I'm just in over my head. Maybe I shouldn't be doing this at all anymore.
Well, people, you need to understand my mind frame. I'm the type of kid that, you know, growing up, if someone said, hey, you know, see that wall right there, that padded wall, go run into it. And I'd go run into it. Bounce off and start laughing, going, you know, got everybody's attention, that type of thing. But then I'd think about it and go, what the hell was I doing, you know? The thing is because of all the experiences I've had dealing with paranormal phenomenon, and there are so many things I haven't even talked about yet because I'm still uncomfortable. You know, and some people I've gotten to know in this field, I've shared that with, and I've done some regressions to go back to it. Two things you need to understand. One, I am just as inquisitive and concerned as wanting more information than ever, because I'm surrounded by people in this field that are also hungry for this information. So I'm still trying to learn as much as I can about it. I still have questions. But then even sometimes I look back at my stuff and go, geez, there's my answer right there. But I want to know as much as possible. The second thing is I think I'm just stupid. <You know? laughs>
I'm glad you said it. Because, Chris, I mean, I understand the inquisitive side, and that's okay to be. You know what I mean? I've grown up inquisitive myself and wanting to know more and understand things. And, you know, I really would like to know exactly how a gun works. It doesn't mean I'm going to put it to my head to figure it out. You know, I mean, you're putting essentially the same thing. You're playing Russian roulette with your own roulette. You're playing Russian roulette with your own life by opening up and letting whatever in. Just for the first of all, I can tell you from being around you at the events, if you just wore a shirt maybe a half size smaller and your pants a little tighter, you wouldn't need to channel to get some more attention. So there you go. See, you're good looking enough. You don't need to get into like allowing demons into your body, Chris. Leave that to the fat dumb guys like Tim and I. We'll do that stuff for the attention.
Aww.
You should. Yeah, I'm sorry, Tim. But what is the, you know, I mean.
Well, see, David, here's, let me answer.
Do you feel some kind of spiritual, feel some kind of like euphoria, like a drug by doing this? Does it kind of, you know, when you're actually part of another thing's energy?
There's two parts to it. There's one part of me that is kind of like, yeah, you know, I want to experience this because I used to experience these types of things as a kid. And it's like doing it now is just, in a way, it's a rush, but it's also going, feeling like I'm home again, you know? But then there's the part of it, as soon as I come out of it, I'm embarrassed as hell because not everybody has had the experiences I've had, so they don't fully understand it. And, you know, right after that channel session, I was like, I wanted to go hide in a cubbyhole and hide and go, oh, my God, you know, I'm so embarrassed, because I know that there's some people that just, they don't get it, they don't understand it, it might scare them, and some people just think it's a bunch of, you know, poo-poo. And I just, you know, because you can see how I was different after that. Even the next day, I was so nervous for my lecture the next day because I'm like, oh, my God, what are people going to think of me that don't know me? You know what I mean? But then I realized, you know, it doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter, because what's happening to me is in some ways my experience and experience for those that were trying to come through to communicate with us. And that's what I have to realize. Not everybody's going to get it. Not everybody's going to understand it. And that's just the way it is. And I want people to understand, in no shape or form do I think I am an expert at channeling or think I'm the greatest at it. There's no way. I'm still learning how to do it. I've seen some people that are remarkable. But the fact is that I can do it, and I allow myself to be put in those situations so that we find out what these spirits or ghosts are trying to say. And I think what they were trying to say was very important, and I'm sure we'll talk about that later.
Well, what do you suggest for people that, you know, like you, they're looking for the cheap thrill of doing this stuff? What are the dangers that you've had? I mean, have you thought you've closed everybody out and then walked away and realized 3 days later that there's still something hanging around inside you?
Two things. On a spiritual level, there's a part of me that believes I'll be protected no matter what, because I am a strong believer in the Creator, and I fully believe in Jesus Christ, as well as some other very enlightening beings that have come here and spread the words about the afterlife. But I've always had a close connection to Jesus, and I don't consider myself a reborn Christian. I don't consider myself really a Catholic anymore or anything like that. I do believe in all religions and spiritual values, but I firmly believe that he was a remarkable person and closely related to God. So I just feel he's always going to protect me. You know, in some situations, I've felt in regressions before I've gone back to some of these demonic things that happened to me as a child, just before going to the regression, he's appeared and said, you know, no matter what you're going to go back and experience, no matter what you're going to see again, please understand that I'm right beside you. And I've always felt that. But that's the spiritual side. When we get into the physical side, and I come out of some of these things, the one trip we had in Stanley Hotel, I had something that was attached to me. I had something attached to me during this Queen Mary thing. And anybody that saw the Dead Famous episode at the Winchester House, I had something attached to me for 3 days. You know, Pamela Heath, a parapsychologist, and some other people are familiar with that situation. They helped me through a lot of it that I was going through in detaching these things from me. It happens. Sometimes I'm aware of it, sometimes I'm not. But the thing is I go into a depression. I just want to hide. You know, I don't go out, I don't socialize, I don't do anything. I go into this darker type energy where it starts to feed off of me. That's not good. I know that's not good. And I put myself in those situations, and then I have to fight and climb back up, you know, to be really enlightening, to be, you know, positive, and to be all those types of things, because they drain me and they take some of that stuff from me. Why do I do it? I guess because I'm just on this journey and this search to find out as much as possible and allow these things to express themselves until we fully understand what the heck is going on. So maybe in some ways I'm sacrificing myself. I don't know. I don't know.
Well, Chris, that leads to another question. Do you feel there's repercussions for these channeling certain beings? I mean, if you get a hold of a lower level being or something that may even be construed as demonic, do you feel that somehow that's taking some sort of toll on your soul, so to speak, or that...
No, because I think in one way we are all connected. It doesn't matter if you're from the light or from the dark side. We all came from one place, and we're all going back to one place, you know, whenever judgment is, whenever everything is completely tied up, if it ever is. If I am not protected, and if I haven't set up parameters, okay, and then these things come through, yes, because they can take things from me, and they can leave things in me, you know, different memories, thoughts, that type of stuff, which takes a long time to cleanse myself out. But in the past, when I have been protected, when I've allowed myself and I've set up parameters saying I'm only letting these people through, there's been two instances where a demon did come through, but I allowed it to. It came and said, I knew it was there, I could push it away, but I said, no, I'm curious. I want to know what it's like to have a demon take over and speak through me. I really want to know what that's like. And it was very interesting because I learned the hatred that this type of form of entity, whether we've created this over time or whether these things always existed, I don't know for sure, but this thing basically wanted to rip everybody apart at the table, just from limb to limb. But in the same sense, I realized that it could be controlled because I had set up parameters, I had set up everything. Now, this is something I would not tell anybody ever to try. I think this was probably just a two-time incident for me to understand the difference between angels and demons from my own experiences and realize the type of power and how they related to humanity. I think that's what that was. It's not me to say, hey, look at me, I can do this. You're going to, no, please understand. It was from one of my own experiences. And I realized that the hatred that they have is because in many ways they turned their back. They haven't forgiven themselves, and they feel that what they're doing is justified when there's a part of them that realizes it really isn't. And until they come to terms with that, they're going to continue to do what they're doing. So it made me understand what their greatest weakness is, as well as that how everything that is created has a reason for existence, because the Creator would not allow any of that to exist if he didn't want to. He could eliminate it at any time, but there has to be a balance because we have free will, and therefore we need to know between good and evil and to make the correct choices so that we go back to the Creator. It's all part of our big, big experience.
Tim, how much? I want to make sure we can play this whole audio. If we take a break now, will that give us enough time before the end of the hour? Okay.
Yeah.
Well, why don't we take our second break here? Stick with us, Chris. We're going to play the audio when we come back from commercial, and we'll be back with more and more of Chris Fleming in the channeling session right after this.
Once you have seen Dave and Tim in the light, you'll understand why we must return to the darkness on the edge of town. Stay tuned. There is more to come. If you bleed from the ears while listening to Leo Sayer records, would it qualify as a paranormal experience? I thought so. Welcome back to the darkness on the edge of town. Ooh, that hurts.
And welcome back to the show. You're listening to Darkness on the Edge of Town Paranormal Radio Show. If you miss our shows live, remember that we do archive all of our shows so that you can always go check them out at darknessradio.com. Click on the Listen tab and you'll be able to find all of our last 2 years' worth of shows. You can also go to darknessradio.planetparanormal.com. paranormal.com, and there you can subscribe to our RSS feed. Is that the correct term, Tim?
Yes, it is.
So people can actually subscribe to our podcasts, and every
yep.
time a new one is uploaded to iTunes, you will be alerted to it. You can be a member of that society, and they'll alert you to it. You can download them, take them with you on your MP3 players, iPods, burn them onto CDs, pass them out to your friends, let everybody know about Darkness on the Edge of Town. All right, let's get back into this. We've got some audio. It's about 15 minutes long. It's interesting, and it starts off, Chris, with I think I was asking some questions, and I had the K2 meter going.
Yes.
And then we things just start to progress from there. And some of the players that you'll hear, Adam Bly was there assisting you. It was myself, you, and then we were surrounded by about 15 other people. So anything you want to lead into before we get in? We have about a minute worth of lead-in time before we need to get this thing fired off.
No, pretty much, like I said, I went up there. Dave started asking questions. I asked a few questions, and we were trying to figure out what was going on, if we were actually communicating with Peter or not. I started getting dizzy. I sat down. You know, Adam chimed in. You chimed in. And Pamela Heath came in. Pamela thought that this entity, this negative entity that came through, and I want to say negative, it's not demonic. It's just a spirit that's kind of, you know, pissed off and everything that wanted to come through and wanted us to leave. She thought it was someone that she had communicated with before, but we'll find out that it really wasn't. She mistaked it, but she does ask me a few questions. So at the end, we'll just talk about it.
All right. Sounds like a plan. Go ahead, Tim, and let's fire this off.
Peter, is there any spirits here that hold some of the other spirits, keep them from leaving? You light it up once for yes, twice for no.
Okay, somebody here is getting a response.
I said once for yes, twice for no, and I got a double blank on that one. Yes? You okay, Chris? Something you want to let happen, Chris? Is there somebody here with us right now? Yeah, what's going on with this light, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Chris, are you all right? Should we be worried about Chris right now? Like once for yes, twice for no. Chris, are you still in there?
At that point, Adam Bly just said that you were having conversations in your head
yes.
with the spirit, so I just want to make that mention when someone gets
okay.
quieter.
Is it Peter James trying to come through you? Can you tell us your name?
Well,
Peter James here with us right now?
Friends. of Peter.
Your friends of Peter?
Present. Friends of Peter. Present.
Is there something you want to tell us? Are you afraid?
No.
Are you happy to be here?
We are here.
Are you here because you choose to be here?
Friends of Peter.
I need you to be clear. Are you friends of Peter?
From when he was here.
Do you miss Peter?
Find him for us.
You're looking for Peter?
Find him for us.
Peter probably went to the light. Would you like to go find Peter? Would you like to go to the light?
Where did he go with out us? Where he said he would take us some time ago.
Peter got very sick.
For him we wait. For got us.
Oh, Peter didn't forget you.
For got us. Why?
You know, if you want to call out to Peter, call out to Peter and call out to your friends and relatives and ask them to come for you. And then you'll see Peter. Peter's crossed over to the light. He'll be there and he'll help you go. Would you like to be back with Peter?
No.
No.
No. Go.
You don't want to go?
No. Go.
Why? You can go.
I will not let them go. You will not speak to them. Will not allow it.
Is this Stevedore?
No.
I need the Stevedore.
If this gets violent, everybody back off, okay? You guys understand?
Yes.
Look at me. Do you recognize me?
And that's the voice of Pamela Heath, the author and parapsychologist in the background that you hear asking questions.
Now, this is another new spirit that's coming through right now.
Yeah, we were having a sale that day.
There's other spirits here now, and you're going to feel us. We want you to go.
So we are going to force you out of here.
And we're
going
to force you out of here. And I think this is the time that you said someone had to leave.
By one.
Anybody else here that would like to leave right now?
This is the point Dave is effectively freaked out. Chris, come out of there, buddy. Come on. Hey, want to go look for some girls? Huh? Want to go get some ice cream? Huh?
And I'm telling you, and inside I'm like, dude, quiet. Trying to regain control.
This time you're trying to detach from the spirits that were
correct.
Inside you, correct?
Okay. Correct. And I'm telling you, wait, wait, please.
Apparently you forgot that you were dealing with a radio show host. I didn't like the dead air.
Now I'm forcing some of them out because they wouldn't leave.
Back with us.
one by one.
Now this is just the calm before the storm, too, you jerk. See, this is where it'd be nice to have, like, the complete idiot's guide to channeling handy. So here I think that it's over, and all of a sudden the chest starts to pump again. And Adam gets this look on his face like, oh, shoot. I could be wrong, but I think you were just channeling the ghost of Curly from the Three Stooges. They laugh. Wait till they hear the EVP of Hey Mo. Now, luckily, we did have Adam there who was familiar with this as well, and he was trying to help you. Because when you were sitting on the floor, you actually began slamming your head against the wall at one point.
Yeah, so Adam
had,
video.
Yeah, Adam had to actually put his hand up behind your head to kind of keep you from wrapping your skull against the tile. Now, that was a dramatic piece of audio, weird to listen to, but even more frightening to see in person, to kind of watch one of your friends go through this stuff. Now, how much of the actual experience do you have memory of?
Well, this was what I would consider a part trance, not a full trance, so I still was conscious of some of the things that were going on. I mean, when I watched the video, I'm like, oh, God, you know, I don't remember everything, because while I'm inside, not only am I allowing them to come through, it's as if I'm a room full of people, and there's this window, okay? I'm in the middle of the room, and these people are starting to surround me, and one person goes over the window and starts speaking through me, okay? I can see them over there that they're doing this. I'm aware of it. But while I'm in the middle of the room, these other people, instead of lining up one by one, in this case, were all surrounding me like, well, I want to go. You know, it's my turn. And so what I would do is I would walk over the window, try to pull the one away and say, go. And then another person would be right behind me. As I turn my back, they're in the window now talking. And that was becoming difficult. And then when I would hear your voice, coming from the door outside saying, hey, Chris, can you hear me? I can't go answer the door and go talk to you because I've got a room full of people. And I'm trying to, make them either line up or push them out. So every time I turned around, there was someone else that was trying to come through and speak through me. I lost count, but I think there must have been 5 different spirits that came through. And we can talk about that from beginning to end.
All right, well, we've got to take our top of the hour break here. We'll come back after the top of the hour. We'll talk more about the channeling session. We'll deal more with that. I'd also like to see if at some point here before the end of the show, I want to bring Patrick on to talk a little bit about the K2 meter activity that he was having too. So let's do that. Stick with us. You're listening to the Darkness on the Edge of Town Paranormal Radio Show. Our guest this evening is Chris Fleming from the TV show Dead Famous. We're talking about channeling and transmediumship, the dangers, the difficulties, and the reality of it. We'll be back with more. And hopefully answer more of your questions right after this.